Good morning, and you are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. A sexual health educator, writer, speaker for almost two decades, she has personally educated over 10,000 people in her community, including children, youth, and adults. Currently an instructor at the University of Waterloo in Sexuality, Marriage, and Family Studies program, joining me a little later will be Stacey Jacobs. But first, I will be chatting with a well-known entrepreneur, educator, and philanthropist in Waterloo region, Alan Querry, founder of Heart Beats Hate. So thank you so much, Alan, for joining me in studio this morning. It's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Rashmi, and it's great to be here.
Take me back to the day that in Charlottesville, Virginia, that started the whole grassroots global movement, Heart Beats Hate.
Yeah, thank you. It was just another Sunday morning, and I was kind of hanging around the house, and CNN was on in the background, and I saw these people carrying torches that had been from the night before, I guess, and holding this big march, and they were protesting in order to keep some statues in Charlottesville and other places in the southern United States. Now, Charlottesville is where the University of Virginia is. It's a beautiful town. So we've got these people, white men, walking around with barbecue torches, shouting slogans, etc., about white supremacy. And I thought, ooh, that's not so good. However, the newscast then switched to tape that showed a car traveling at high speed into a crowd of another group that was protesting to take down the Confederacy statues, because that war was 150 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was for civil rights. It was for freedom. This car sped into a crowd, and bodies were flying all over the place. And I was stunned. I thought, well, this isn't a movie. These aren't stunt people. These are real people, and somebody's behind that wheel. And they made a choice. And life's Absolutely. A series of choices, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this person decided, hey, it's a good idea if I get into this car and run it into people. So that's a choice. The person makes a choice to step on the accelerator and really accelerate, not just drive, but this was speeding. So that choice was made. And then the choice was made not to put the brakes on. The choice was, no, this is right. I apparently need to do this, so I'm going to. Now, you know, unfortunately, a young woman was killed because as a result of the accident, and many, many people were injured, and some seriously. So, again, I'm sitting there on a Sunday morning, probably around 10 o'clock, and I thought, oh, I can't believe it's gone this far. I can't believe
Absolutely.
That this divisiveness, which was so obvious in political rhetoric and some protests, etc., but someone would kill someone on purpose because of this, that they didn't agree with them. And it turns out it's a 20-year-old, fairly privileged from Ohio, and I said, wow, somebody's got to do something about this. Wait a minute. I'm somebody. It's actually a line from the comedian Lily Tomlin, who I like quite a bit. And I thought, well, okay, it's good for you to say, Alan, but what are you actually going to do? We're not judged by, if we're going to be judged, we're not judged by our rhetoric, we're judged by our deeds. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I got to figure out something. So that day, that Sunday, I started to think about what could be a rallying cry, a mantra, a slogan for people to say, look, hate is a choice.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to make it. You don't have to hate. So I came up with the expression, heart beats hate. Took me a while. I'm a writer by trade, by my history. And then I thought, well, okay, obviously somebody else has got this. It's a phrase for somebody. I went on the internet. You've heard of that, www.
Yes. Yeah. It's where all of us go.
Exactly. So I didn't find anybody had had used that phraseology. And I checked around, and I put in an email message to my lawyer that I wanted to speak to them in the first thing in the morning, because I wanted to register this. And found out that it was available to be registered as a trademark or copyright in Canada and the United States. And they asked, well, do you want it just for Canada? I said, oh, no. No, this should be bigger than Canada. Yes, we mm-hmm. have some challenges here. We have seen hate crimes escalate too fast and too high. And yet, it has to be good for North America. So we got that underway. I bounced it off a few people. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, what does it really mean? And I said, I'm a big fan of a follower of Martin Luther King, Dr. King. And, you know, he used to say, quite wisely, that you can't not take a stand. Hate is too dark. And it's too much trouble to hate somebody. It's much easier to just love somebody.
True.
And so with that in mind, we went with Heart Beats Hate. Stand up, speak out, and push back. It was the push back part that really caused some people to wonder, push back? Are you talking about violence versus violence? Oh, no. But we as Canadians, we don't seem to, as a culture, push back. We kind of accept it. Maybe we normalize mm-hmm. activities, or we normalize prejudices and discriminations. Oh, well, that's okay. No, it's not okay. And at that time, my son and daughter-in-law were about to have a child. He's a beautiful 18, 20-month-old now. And it's not for me that we're doing this. It's not even for you, Rashmi. It's for the children.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the generation next.
Bingo.
Yep.
And my wife volunteers at a public school in a reading program. So her students, her children, are 5 and 6 years old. These kids don't hate anything. They're there.
They're just laughing. Real.
Yeah, they're playing. And so where does that change? Well, it changes with grandparents, parents, brothers and sisters that may be older, and that influence gets in. So again, it came back to, how do we give them a choice? How do we help them understand, if possible, that, hey, it's okay. You don't have to hate anybody. Because right now it seems like, well, you got to be either right or left. You've either got to be brown or white. You've either got to be from this country or that country. Mm-hmm. Or this political stripe versus another. Like, okay, that's a man-made thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nature. This whole hate thing goes against nature, frankly.
As a country, we are known for celebrating diversity, right?
Yes.
And do you think we face hate here as well in Canada?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think we have a consciousness in Canada that perhaps we think is special. At the same time, we shouldn't just feel that we're above the fray. When you see some of these special interest groups, we even see them here in Kitchener-Waterloo for Pete's sakes. Yeah, and even at the universities, which are supposed to be more enlightened communities, it's not right. We have a choice. We have to push back, and we have to make sure that human rights, I don't care, but everything comes to me down to human rights. We're humans. We should have a certain degree of confidence that we can live and enjoy.
And we see a lot of Heart Beats Hate signs around this region.
Yes.
So what's the goal? What does Heart Beats Hate aim to do?
Well, Rashmi, excellent question. And I'm not sure that I know exactly, and that's okay. I never wanted it to be about a not-for-profit. My dream, my vision is for it to become a movement. Mm-hmm. It's for it to people just say, yeah, I want to be in that. I don't have to follow anyone. I don't have to be of any particular religious affiliation or political affiliation. This is about me and my neighbors. this is about my children. And so when you see the signs up, yes, right now they're local, but we have just shipped signs to North Carolina, we've shipped signs to California, we have shipped signs to Dallas, Texas. These are all people who got knowledge or some sort of awareness. Mm-hmm. So in its first year and a half, we've been trying to create awareness and interest in what we're doing, because people are people. We all want a better community. We don't want to see the degradation mm-hmm. of our culture into these two or three, you know, very competitive forces. So my wife, Susan, and I, we're funding the movement at this point.
Okay.
We are not a not-for-profit. I don't want to regulate. So it's self-funded for now, and other people can jump in, print their own signs. Then that's in Calgary, that's in Vancouver, that's in Halifax, and the American cities. And then maybe, hey, look, if we make a difference in one incident, we have
it just
done
takes
our,
that one incident
so.
To change.
Absolutely. So we're really kind of focused now on be kinder, because maybe it doesn't have to be this meta political social movement, social political movement. It's really about just be nicer to people, be kinder.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sponsoring we're a sponsor of the Kitchener Rangers. Why? It's a sports team. No, it's a community. I was at a game last night handing out stickers. 7,000 people.
There's a message conveyed there.
The message goes there. And there's lots of children. And there's parents. And all of us want to, you know, have a nice community. We also do the same with the KW Titans, who's a pro basketball team here in town. They're great, as the Rangers have been. And we'll be getting into the sports teams, mm-hmm. both boys and girls, and schools.
That's my next question, okay. Because talking about kids,
yeah.
bullying happens everywhere.
It does.
At schools, at, you know, mm-hmm. workplace too, and at home,
definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Heartbeat Hate helps others stand up and speak out
yeah.
against bullying. So how is this program or the movement mm-hmm. that you've started funneling into the schools and workplace environment?
Very good. And I totally agree on your observation that there's bullying in the workplace. And how can that happen? But it does.
It does.
I mean, human nature, human behavior, blah. So let's go to the schools, because that's most important. We have partnered up with an organization called Recess Guardians. And these folks are across Canada and starting in the United States. What they do is they've developed kits of games and activities that kids can play at recess. Is it about preaching or lecturing? No. But it is about an activity each week. Each week's a different activity that the kids can do themselves and maybe learn a little bit more about collaboration and respect. I mean, when we talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, let's talk about Dr. Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Mm-hmm.
And how important that is amongst all of us. And so
it begins with respect.
Bingo, yeah. So these Recess Guardians is an important movement for us. We've also, my executive director of Heartbeats Hate is Victoria Ford. Victoria comes from an educational background. She has done up curriculum that teachers can bring into the classroom just as workshops, as exercises. We don't know how successful we'll be with boards of education, because that maybe turns into a little bit of a political football. But if teachers say, I could actually use that workshop or curriculum in my class with my students, yay. So we're there. And we're really going to be more active in those regards in the rest of 2020 and 2021.
Talking about 2020,
yeah.
Do you think in today's times, are people coming forward to report violent cases, vandalism, and threats than people hesitated to talk about mm-hmm. it years before?
Yes, I do believe that. And I talked to, we have a great police chief here in our region, Brian Larkin. And I asked Brian, I said, look, these figures, I don't understand. How did they jump? He said, Brian, fortunately, more people are reporting more problems. And if they're reported to us, it goes in the stats. And he said, I don't know if there's been that much of a rise, but we have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And he's very concerned that in policing the region, we have to self-police as well. And so neighborhoods are starting to put up their hands, and they're starting to organize more activities and interaction. If we understand more about other people, it doesn't have to be other races or other sexuality or anything else. It's just they're just other people. Mm-hmm. If we understand more, then we will not fear so much. And I have a feeling that fear has a lot to do with racism and hate.
And do you think that is how people treat others, or is just their mindset?
I think it's both. And I think we have to get right back into that mindset and the perception. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit further a journey. But we do have to help people. And I'm very concerned about anti-Semitics and people just picking out a particular religion or race and saying they're automatically bad. What? No. I'm very proud to have relationships with all sorts of different religions. And it's about, again, the respect and the understanding and the acknowledgement mm-hmm. of, yeah, guess what, we're different. And that's okay. Actually, it's kind of interesting.
It is.
It is.
How can community help support this cause? What are you looking for the community to bring together?
Well, I guess, I mean, it's behavior. I mean, attitude is great, and we do have to start work there on the mindsets and the perceptions so that people aren't growing into this, hatred. They have a choice. They say, no, I don't need to do that. So there's that, but there's also the behavior. Communities are fabulous. We as humans, we gather into mm-hmm. communities, right? So this gathering of people should be and will be, I believe, more positive than negative. It will be more inclusive than divisive. It will be more tolerant because it just becomes a more natural thing. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's okay. Doesn't bother us. You know, I'm so appalled by people who cannot tolerate what other people do. It's not your problem. Enjoy your life.
Yesterday, was it International Heartbeats Hate Day? Tell me a little about that.
Yeah. You know what? I was a big supporter, and I have been a big supporter, and I will be a big supporter of Random Act of Kindness. Like, for a day? Are you kidding? Like, for 24 hours, we're all going to be nicer people, mm-hmm. and we're going to buy each other a coffee or whatever? Okay, great. Symbolism is fabulous. They asked me to speak at an event 5 or 6 years ago. And it was a couple hundred people there. And, you know, people were chatting, la, la, la. And they say, oh, here's Alan Corey. He's going to say something. And I looked around the room, and my speech was this, Rushmi. Morning, everyone. Don't be a jerk. And I sat down. And the MC kind of looked over her shoulder, like, Alan, maybe you could expand on that a little, because all these people were there. I said, oh, yeah, I'd be happy to. And I got back up and I said, good morning, everyone. Please don't be a jerk. And sat back down because...
And that's a powerful statement right there.
I think so. That's what... if they went away, if they went back to their workplace, if they went back to their homes, if they went back to their social activities and thought, wait a minute, I don't want to be a jerk. I actually could be kind. Mm-hmm. I actually could be... I could be more like myself. People are kind. I think there's a natural propensity for people to be, you know, kind. What we're saying is be kinder. So the International Heartbeats Hate Day is kind of a spoof on International Cupcake Day, International Yo-Yo Day, International Brown and White Spaniel Day. Every day is the International Heartbeats Hate Day.
So since creating Heartbeats Hate, has that changed you as a person? Is there any life lessons you would like to share with our listeners?
Has it changed me as a person? I hope so, because I'm more conscious of it. And I am never going to be Gandhi. I'm never going to be Dr. Martin Luther King or, you know, anything like that. That's not the point. But I think it has made me more conscious of how other people are kind and how other people have always been doing this. And so I always try to point that out. But wow, that was kind. Thank you. And the internet, World Wide Web, is a great way to do that, because in some ways you are pushing back against these waves of discrimination and non-inclusion. And so, yeah, there's more of us. Here's the good thing, Rashmi. There's more of us.
Absolutely.
Than there are of them.
Absolutely.
So we have to make sure our message is strong and stronger, because mm-hmm. our children and our grandchildren have to know. I don't want my grandchild in 20 years to say, where the hell were you? Where were you when all this was happening?
Mm-hmm. What was your contribution there?
Yeah. And so that's, the one person used to say, live, love, learn, leave a legacy. Stephen Covey, I think. And our legacy should be kinder, heartbeats hate.
Thank you so much, Alan, for sharing the amazing work that Heartbeat Hates is doing. And if you can share your social media handles where people can connect with you and if they want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So if you can share that.
Excellent. Thanks for the opportunity, Rashmi. I have a company out in St. Jacobs, Ontario called Quarry. It's right on the main street. And if people would like to drop in to the front office, the front entrance, they can pick up a lawn sign. They're free. They're fabulous. They can pick up a lawn sign. There might be some free stickers that day too. Also, in terms of, there is a heartbeatshate.com, heartbeatshate.com, and there's all sorts of stuff there. Mm-hmm. And you can keep up with what we're doing in the movement. You can connect with good resources. Victoria has done a great job in terms of getting articles, getting books, getting associations connected. I'm Alan Quarry on Facebook, where I'm bothering people all the time.
And I think Heartbeats Hate also has a Facebook page and an Instagram page as well, so people can connect.
We are so hip. We have an Instagram page, and Victoria, again, does a wonderful job in keeping that updated. And you can participate. You can learn. If you have a differing opinion, we're open to that too. As long as we're being civil and respectful, leave your comments.
Wonderful. Thanks so much again, Alan. It's a pleasure having you here this morning.
Great.
And stay tuned. I will be right back with my next guest, Stacy Jacobs.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back. Those of you who have just tuned in, you are listening to In Conversation with Rashmi on CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. My next guest is currently an instructor at the University of Waterloo in Sexuality, Marriage and Family Studies program. Her favorite topics to discuss include consent, menstruation, and menopause. Stacy Jacobs, thank you so much for being here, Stacy. It's a pleasure having you here.
It's a pleasure to be here, Rashmi. I'm so happy.
When does one start talking about menopause? That's the biggest question most of us struggle with, right?
Yes.
Because menstruation seems to be the topic that's on in today's time, but mm-hmm. no one really talks about menopause.
They don't. And right now we are experiencing what we like to call a menstrual movement, an international movement, where we are talking more about menstruation, and we're talking about it in a real way, and we're talking about it to young people, to older people, to every person. But we're really leaving menopause out of that conversation, and menopause is part of the menstruation conversation. It's part of the menstrual cycle. It's the end of the menstrual cycle. So we really do need to have that conversation. And just like we do with menstruation, we need to talk about menopause before menopause happens. And they have found that this will help people who are experiencing menopause because they'll understand what's happening to their body and they'll be able to equate what's happening to menopause instead of to other things.
There is something called a premenopause. How is that different from a menopause?
Yeah, it's very confusing. We tend to talk about menopause, and that's almost like the umbrella term for everything that happens. Mm-hmm. But perimenopause is those years leading up to menopause. And menopause is actually a retrospective diagnosis.
And what age group are we talking this begins at?
So perimenopause can happen in your early or your late 30s, your early 40s, throughout your 40s, and it's different for each person. And that's why it's a little bit more complicated, because with menstruation, you see it, you know what it is, you can say, okay, I've started menstruating. But with perimenopause, sometimes you don't know exactly when that starts. And there are signs and symptoms that will be leading up to that, but the actual menopause is the moment when you have not had a menstrual period in 12 consecutive months. So you have to kind of look back and go, okay, I've hit menopause. And then the moment after that is postmenopause. So we have perimenopause leading up to menopause, the moment of menopause, and then postmenopause. So it can be confusing for some people. And you can still get a menstrual cycle after you haven't had one for 12 months. It's still possible that can happen. And I've also talked to a lot of people where they thought they were in menopause because they didn't have their period, but they were actually pregnant. So that's a piece too that you have to be aware of. So it is possible to get pregnant if you're ovulating, and sometimes people assume that they're not when they actually are.
And when we are talking menopause, what is the average age group we are talking about there?
The average age in Canada is roughly, 50, 51, 52, 53. Different studies will tell you different numbers, but it's roughly in that age group. That can change depending on where you live in the world, depending if you smoke cigarettes or not, depending culturally. So it's a little bit different for everybody. So what's really great is if we can get to know our bodies a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we talk to people about that when we talk about things like menstruation. And if you kind of can keep track of, your menstrual cycles, the signs, the symptoms, things that are happening to your body, it's easier to tell when you're starting menopause or perimenopause and when these things are happening.
And menopause is a transitional stage of life that, mm-hmm. Every person goes through. And what are some of the natural remedies one can probably follow to keep that in balance? Or is that something they have to run to their doctors for? Like, what are the signs and symptoms we are talking about here?
Yeah, well, there's so many signs and symptoms, and they will be different for everybody. So when you see a big list of signs and symptoms, it can be really scary, kind of like looking at the side effects of a drug that you're taking. What you need to know is all of those symptoms aren't going to happen to one person, and they could happen at different times as well, because if all of these things happened at the exact same time, that would be extremely problematic. People wouldn't be able to function. So sometimes seeing this big list can be really scary. So we tend to talk about things like hot flashes or night sweats, insomnia, mood swings. So these are common things that people associate with menopause, but I think we need to really talk more about the emotional factors and that play in as well. So there are things like memory loss, potentially, what they call brain fog or fuzzy thinking, where you just can't concentrate the way that you used to. And they like to nicely say, things like irritability. But irritability for some people can lead to like severe anger or even rage. And those mood swings can change quite quickly. So if we understand why those things are happening, and the reason everything is happening is because of the change in hormones. So that's really all that it is. It's a transition in the hormones. So you're transitioning from being able to be pregnant to not being able to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. So those hormones are changing. And then in postmenopause, they will level out again. So those hormones level out, which means the signs and the symptoms drastically decrease or disappear altogether. So for some people, this can last for 2 years, but for some people, this could last for 3, 5, even 7 years. So it will be different for each person. And as you asked earlier, there are some things that you can naturally do, but you can also talk to your healthcare provider. So if you have a family doctor, for instance, some people do go on hormone therapy. that is a conversation that you do need to have with your doctor, with the healthcare provider. It is something that is a prescription. And some people do choose, if they have severe symptoms or even moderate to severe symptoms, to go that route. But you need to look at your medical history and your body to see if that is something that's right for you. But you can also talk to naturopaths, homeopaths. There's lots of people who take different vitamins, who choose different diets or exercise regimes that do help them. So it really kind of is a, you know, try things out, see how they work for you. I'm someone who does a lot of yoga, and within my yoga, a meditation piece, and I find that can be helpful for me. I do think I'm personally starting perimenopause, so I'm kind of keeping a track of myself and what's happening. It's a little harder too because I'm someone who has endometriosis, so my hormones are already doing some different things. So it can be harder if you have other things that are hormonally influencing your body to know exactly what to attribute things to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you spoke about emotions and mood swings and irritability. How important it is, not just the person going through it, but the person around you to be more aware in how they treat you or how they respond to your feelings.
Absolutely. And that can be really difficult because if people don't understand why you have a mood swing or why you're feeling the way you do, or if you can't tell somebody, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, my memory's not as it used to be, or I'm feeling like I can't concentrate. If you can't tell people those things, it's extra hard on the person experiencing it. So I'm a big believer in talking to partners, talking to family members, talking to friends, talking to coworkers as well. So
that is an important part as well. Workplace, this is not a conversation that normally happens otherwise.
And it's a little bit easier for me. I'm someone who works in the sexual health world. So these are conversations that we can have at the office because they're not only work-related, they're like personally related. But in other workplaces, how do you bring things up like that? Especially if you're typically in a workplace with people who don't menstruate and won't be going through menopause, how do you bring those things up in a way that they're going to understand and want to join that conversation? Because a lot of people aren't ready to talk about menstruation and then are not ready to talk about menopause. So it is a conversation we need to have, I think, again, you know, internationally, worldwide, with every single person. And even when we're talking to young people, when we bring up menstruation, there's nothing wrong with bringing up what menopause is as well. And I definitely have done this, and a lot of them go, oh yeah, you know, my mom's going through that, or I've talked to, you know, this person about this, or this person has mentioned that. So they've heard the word. So again, you know, there's nothing wrong with explaining to children or to youth.
And they probably will understand what their mother or whoever in the family is going through, why the mood swings happen.
Yeah. Children need to understand these things as well. Absolutely. And I think, too, the conversation tends to be quite negative. So we're trying to change that as well and put a more positive spin on it, but also a very realistic spin. So explaining exactly what it is, but that it's not all, you know, dark and dreary and horrible. And I think as well that understanding that perimenopause will be probably the most difficult time for people, but that there is an end. It will end. So a lot of people who are in that perimenopause stage think, oh my gosh, this is me for the rest of my life. This is it. This is how I'm going to be. But if you understand that these symptoms will decrease and probably diminish completely, it's a lot easier to handle something when you know that it's not going to last forever.
It's not just women who go through this transition, because we now cannot just say, okay, all women are going to go through menopause, because there's a transition, there's different genders who are transitioning into different persons that they want to be. So that's a whole different area where people don't really talk about again. How do you think that is a conversation that needs to be brought up?
Well, and I think what we need to be is more careful around our language, or be more direct about our language. So we can talk about people who menstruate or people who will experience menopause. We don't have to talk about girls menstruating or women going through menopause, because we know that not everybody who experiences menstruation and menopause identifies as a girl or as a woman. We also know that people who identify as women and girls don't necessarily menstruate or go through menopause. So just being, I think, more careful in our language, and then explaining that when you talk to people, you know, why you're using the language that you're using. And for some people, things like menstruation and menopause can bring up different feelings. And for some people, it's an easy transition. For some people, it's really difficult. Some people are happy that they hit menopause because they don't like menstruating. They're not happy about that, and they're happy to be rid of that part of their life. Other people can be really upset because it does say, you know, I can't have children anymore. I can't get pregnant anymore. And for some people, that's a really big loss. So I think really what we need to do is be more considerate of other people's circumstances and feelings and not make assumptions about anybody.
And again, a lot of people going through different cancer treatments and stuff at a very early age even get into menopause due to medications and treatments and everything else. So I think understanding that part and being careful about what's spoken about.
And for some people, there's something called surgical menopause, where maybe you've had your uterus, your ovaries removed due to various things, possibly cancer, and you will instantly then be in menopause. So you don't have that gradual transition. It's just, you know, you weren't and now you are. So that's a different experience for people. So understanding, too, that everyone's experiences are gonna be different.
So what is postmenopausal zest? I kind of heard that term. I was like, that's interesting.
So we can short form it. We can say PMZ, which I think is absolutely amazing. And I'm sure some people have heard of Margaret Mead, who's a famous anthropologist. Mm-hmm. And she coined this term in the 1950s. And really, all that she was saying was that it is a physical and psychological surge of energy. So after menopause, when you're in postmenopause, this new zest for life, creativity, confidence, enthusiasm, and this idea that you can focus more on yourself and not on other people. So a lot of people who go through menopause have spent their lives raising children, potentially taking care of other family members and friends. So PMZ, this postmenopausal zest, is a time when you get to concentrate on yourself. And I think this makes me really happy because it's a way to talk about it in a positive way and a way to put a positive spin on something that can be seen as very negative for a lot of people. So this idea that, you know, once you're through some of this, the harder times, you get to this like amazing time in your life, and we're living a lot longer now. So for example, if you go through menopause at age, you know, 52 and you stop menstruating and your hormone levels level out, you might have another 40 years or more to have this extra time in your life where you feel great and you have this energy and this creativity. For some people, too, a lot of sexual energy returns that maybe they didn't have during the perimenopause stage.
That sounds really exciting.
I'm personally excited to hit that stage of my life.
I know. So in terms of where can one get help for some symptoms that they can't control, like emotionally, it can hit anybody in the worst scenario. So where can people reach out to get that help?
So I think definitely reaching out to healthcare providers and any healthcare provider. So I use that term really loosely. So not meaning necessarily a family doctor, but also I think turning to friends and family members, talking to other people who are going through perimenopause or menopause or have gone through it to get some advice. You can talk to family members as well and see what maybe worked for them, what didn't work for them. I also think it's important that if you need to, counseling therapy could be something that could be really beneficial for you. Maybe you don't have people in your life to talk to, and that gives you somebody to talk to. There's also some resources. Now, I'd love to see more resources about menopause. There is something called menopauseinyou.ca, so it has some basic things. There's also the North American Menopause Society, and both of these websites also have some videos that you can watch. And there are a few books. I'm sure people have heard of Our Bodies Ourselves, quite a famous book, and they also have Our Bodies Ourselves Menopause, for example. So there are more books coming out about menopause, more resources, more websites. So doing a Google search can be helpful, but of course, you know, critically looking at all the websites that you find, like you do for anything else. So I think just maybe talking more and more about this. And once you bring it up, I have found anyways, at the age that I'm at, as soon as I bring it up, people are interested. People want to talk about this. It is my plan at some point, hopefully soon, probably in the spring, to begin some kind of I don't necessarily want to call it a support group, but support for people who are experiencing menopause or who are wondering, you know, what menopause is going to be like or perimenopause. So giving people that information, just bringing people together to share information, I think would be, in my mind, one of the most helpful things we could do.
Absolutely. And if people need to reach out to you and connect with you at some point to either gather as a group or get more information, where can they reach you?
So my email is s.jacobs.educator@gmail.com. Or is it .ca? Gmail.ca? Gmail.com. Whichever.
It'll bounce back with one or the other.
And you can find me on Facebook under Stacy J, J-A-Y.
All right. And is there any other support groups within the community that have these programs or they can get books from? I know libraries are a great place to get books from and read about menopause and things like
Absolutely, absolutely.
So are there any books you would recommend that people can read from?
I do really like Christian Northrup. So she has written a few different books, and she has one called The Pleasures of Menopause, which I really love the idea that people have this idea that maybe sex is not something that they will continue at this part of their life or that they want to continue. So talking about very specific things around that, because there are some signs and symptoms too, like things like vaginal dryness that we need to talk about. Vaginal dryness doesn't mean you can't have sex anymore, but it might mean that you need a vaginal moisturizer or lubricant, and you need to be more aware that the tissue might be a little bit more, needs some extra care. Mm-hmm. At that point in your life. So talking about those things. And definitely the KPL is really helpful. So they hold events. So next week, we're maybe in 2 weeks, there's an event about endometriosis. So they're very open to having different speakers come in, different, you know, knowledge being shared. But I'm not aware of any support group. I could completely be wrong. I have not heard of anything locally. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I think where it does exist is maybe really informally when people are doing their own thing. But yeah, so we definitely just need more support around these things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Stacy.
You're welcome.
Time just goes by really quick. We'll have to get you in, you know, to talk about more topics on sexuality. And, you know, there are so much human body does, and we can't cover it all in one go. So thank you so much for sharing some very informative information here and having those important conversations, which, you know, we need to talk about. And like you said, have a support group that women can reach out. Everybody can reach out and share and talk. So if you have a story or want to share it, you can email me at onair. It's O-N-A-I-R. WITHRASHMI@gmail.com. It's on air with Rashmi@gmail.com. You can also follow me on my Facebook page. It's In Conversation with Rashmi, or my Instagram feed at RASHSANJ. So tune in to CKMS 102.7 FM every Saturday morning. You can also listen live online on www.radiowaterloo.ca. Bloodshot eyes looking for